Well, welcome back to our study of Deuteronomy. We are in chapter 7, and we left off in the last session. We had read verses 20 through 23, or 21 through 23. And one of the principles we talked about at the end of last session was that the promises of God are revealed to us little by little. And I talked to Pete this morning or this afternoon about that. And this was an eye-opener for me when I first accepted the Lord and was so excited about the Word of God, had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I just wanted to know. It took me a while to come to terms with the fact that I'm not going to know everything all at once. I had come from a profession that... I'll just say I knew my job. I knew my job, and I knew it well. And I was used to knowing. You know what I mean? I was used to knowing what I was supposed to know. And then all of a sudden, I don't know anything. I mean, I zilch. Know nothing. Nada. I know I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the Holy Spirit's on the inside of me, and that's what I got. That's all I know. And I think back to June 18th of 2019, when the Lord called me out and called me matriarch of STC Bible College. There's some people here in the room that were here that night. And hands were laid on me. There was an impartation. And that impacted me a great deal. But one of the things that was spoken by the Spirit of the Lord that night was, she's in training. In training right now. And I thank the Lord for the training. We're still in training. I imagine I'll be in training my whole life here on this earth. I'm going to be in training. But I remember times of frustration where I would want to know it. And I would talk to Pete and I'd say, I'm used to knowing what I'm supposed to know. But the Lord knew some things would be overwhelming and some things would work against me if I knew all at once. You know, the Israelites, they didn't conquer that land all at once. And he tells them why in verse 22. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. You know, you're not that numerous right now. You conquer that land, you're not big enough to take care of all the wild animals in that land yet. They'll overpopulate you. And so, the things of God, the promises of God, come little by little. One of the things that Romaine and I talked about upstairs is we were reminded of the scripture about how the promises of God, we receive those through faith and patience. You know, this little by little, that requires patience. But at the same time, we're exercising this patience. It's up to us to hold on to the Word of God. To maintain our faith, keeping that word in our heart and guarding our heart with all diligence, to where we don't let go of the word. We don't let go of our faith, but we maintain it. So be encouraged by that. Little by little works for your good. Works for my good too. Amen? And we see all kinds of principles here with the experiences that the Israelites had in the commands, the instruction they received. We can glean from that as well.
And in light of that, once they went into the promised land, then it was a commitment. One conquest to the next conquest to the next conquest. They took a city at the time, but you understand they didn't back off. And people, you know, they don't like war. Well, let me tell you, you're not going to win a war in a month or 6 months. I get somewhat intrigued with some of these idiots that report and think you're supposed to just win a war in a few months' time. They don't have a clue as to how, I mean, they don't even understand war. They don't understand how things go. They don't understand how what all is involved. And it took them a long time. They didn't do this in just a few months' time. It took them a long time to inherit the promised land, okay? But here's the thing. It takes absolute commitment. You're going to win it, you have to commit. And so if you get everything didn't go right here, you regroup and do it again. You do it until you get the victory. You never give up. You get more determined. You understand? But it takes commitment. Now, and I'll say this concerning Heather and Kinsey both. They were somewhat latecomers, as a lot of people, you know, would think, growing up in church. Well, I've been in church all these years. I've been there. When the Lord, you know, called me in the ministry, those people old enough to be my grandparents. And they think, those boys wet behind the ears and don't know anything. But here's the thing. I would spend anywhere from 8 to 10 hours a day in the Word of God. You understand? I'm reading the Bible, studying the Bible, and talking to the Lord. And that's what I appreciate about these ladies. Since they have come to know the Lord, you're talking about a commitment. They have given themselves to know the Word. And Heather will say to me from time to time, I don't know. I say, Heather, you're never going to know it all. But I promise you that you know more than most people that have been attending church all their life. Why? Because you keep your nose in it. You keep it in it, and it gets in you. You understand? It's not longevity. You understand? People think you're an elder by age. You know, you just got old. But you can be old and spiritually immature. Or you can be young and spiritually mature, depending on how much time you committed to the Lord. And people have a problem with commitment. Now, I've had to say it more than one time. Ministry is who I am. It's not what I do. You understand? So it doesn't matter. I'm a minister 7 days a week. And so when there is a need, that's when you minister. It doesn't matter if it's on Sunday or Monday or Saturday, whatever the case is. You don't tell God, well, I'm 8 to 5 and all this type thing. And I'm talking about legitimate ministry. I'm not talking about stroking flesh and socializing. I'm talking about legitimate ministry, being led by the Spirit of God, not by people. People will manipulate your time. God will use your time. And there's a difference between using and manipulating. Okay? But if you want to advance with God, it's going to cost you. People say, what? I say everything you've got. There can't be a bigger priority than God in your life. He has to be first place. And so you give your time, like with these, like hours a day. To know the Word. To know the Word. And Romaine teaches side by side with them, and I think he would be a witness to you that they're diligent in their study. They're not novices. You understand? They're mature in the Lord. And I appreciate that. The Lord knows the person. He knows the heart of a person. He knows the commitment of a person. Okay? And so that's what he's looking for, commitment. You want to take the land? Then you commit yourself to taking the land. You don't give up. I learned this early on, even as a heathen. As long as there's breath in my body, you haven't whipped me. You understand? I don't know of any battle a war that the country has won every battle. You may lose a battle here and there. You may get fatalities and casualties. You don't let that discourage you. You're on a mission. Stay true to your mission. You understand? I know what it is to go days without eating. And I wasn't volunteering for a fast. But because of the circumstances, you don't eat. You with me? It's that way with the Lord. There's sometimes we go. I don't plan to fast. It just works out. I don't have time to eat. You don't think about it. What you think about is I want to do all I can do for the Lord while I'm here on earth. I'm not in this for me. You understand? And I promise you that these people that are staff, they are not in it for them. And I thank God for the people that He's sent to me. And I thank Him from time to time. Lord, I appreciate the gifts that You send here. I appreciate commitment. And we're not looking for loyalty to me. We're looking for loyalty to the Lord. And you stay loyal to the Lord, I'm going to be all right. You follow me? But don't look for everything to just transpire all at one time. Sometimes I go, and this is just the way it happens. There are times, you know, that it's like all of a sudden you're getting a lot of revelation. And boy, you're just happy to write all these things down. The Lord's showing you. And then it's like you go through dry time. You're studying just as much as you've ever studied. It's not that you've withdrawn from the Lord. But how many of you know there's an application time? You're trained to put things into practice. And so what He puts in you, you need to put it into practice. When you get proficient in that, He can give you something else. You understand? And so this is what we mean about by little, you realize that these things. Actually, when it comes to just inheritance, the promises of God, He says in Hebrews, through faith and patience inherited the promise. Not who through faith, who through faith and patience. Faith requires patience. Because if it happened instantly, where's the faith? You don't have to have faith in something you have. Per se, you know what I'm saying. You with me? And so the Lord gives us what we can handle at that particular time. And we digest that. You put it into practice. Don't tell other people to do what you don't do. You with me? If God speaks something to me, then He expects me to put it into practice first. Before we stand up and say, for you to put it into practice. And there's too many people saying, you do this, but they're not doing it. That's why what Jesus said about the religious leaders of His day. He told the people, listen, they sit in the seat of Moses. Excuse me, in other words, they're giving you the law of Moses. They're giving you the Word of God. You listen to the Word of God, but don't you follow their practices. Because they say it and they don't do it. No, we have to put it into practice. If it won't work for me, why would I think it would work for you? If it's not, if I think it's good for you, would it not be good for me? Then why shouldn't I follow that practice? You follow me? And I've learned that it's a little at a time. You get this revelation, and you may go for a little while. And then you get this, you may go for a while. Ministry changes. You know, in the years I've been in ministry, my ministry's changed quite a bit. And a lot of it has to do with the demand, what's needed at that particular time. And then the Lord ministers to the need, not just to the want of the people. And people come to church wanting, and they don't even understand what they need. God is going to give you what you need. Now, you can throw it to the person behind you, or you can listen to God talking to you. You understand? So church is not about make me feel good. It's make me better. Make me a better servant of the Lord. Okay? Little by little, we're growing. Now I want you to think of this. Compare this to going to school. What do? When I was going, you started in the first grade. Today they pre-kindergarten. That's just to brainwash the kids, you understand? But you started in the first grade. Now, I was talking to Heather this afternoon or this morning, how I remember in the first grade, they gave you these lined papers and your pencil, and you start out learning how to make lowercase letters, or I think it was lowercase or uppercase first? Uppercase first. And you had to touch both lines, top line, bottom line. And so you go through the alphabet, and then you learn how to make your lowercase letters, okay? Then you learn your numbers, how to write your numbers. Here, you still got to touch those lines. I mean, man, I'd work hard. And I wasn't an academic person, you understand. And then you learn to take those letters and make words. You take a T, you take a H, you take a E. Now we got a word. And then you have to pronounce that word. Then you learn to take those words and make simple sentences. Run, spot, run. That was in the book. Yeah. And you learn that. Well, when you advance to the second grade, you third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, what are you doing? You're adding to a foundation. That foundation started with learning how to write the letter and the number, okay? They don't give you trigonometry and geometry in the first grade. You know what I'm saying? You have to learn just simple math, okay? The spiritual learning follows the same principle. And people don't want to learn the basic fundamentals of the Word of God. They want to learn how to give a word here and how to give a word there and how to get this happen, make this happen and how to make that happen. And the truth is, you don't make it happen. You let it happen. You understand? But you have to progress. You understand? There was times I thought, will I ever get out of school? I mean, 12 years. Good, my goodness, I'm wasting my life. You understand? And people think that about, you know, trying to learn the Word of God. We've had a lot of people to go here. They start, but when they realize how much commitment's involved, man, that's more than I want. That's more than I want. And so they quit. They think they ought to get it all at one time. And it doesn't work that way no more than a formal education works that way. Little by little by little by little. And you will never arrive. You understand? You don't know it all naturally. I don't care what your job is and how many years you've worked at it. You'll hit problems that you've never run into. When I worked as a mechanic, especially as a service manager, I stayed in school. I mean, I'd go to, it may be a one-day thing, a two-day thing, or whatever. There's always changes that are taking place and recalls and all this kind of stuff. You're constantly being educated. Well, in the Spirit is no different. You're constantly being educated by the Spirit. But when you think, man, I'm tired of this, you just shut it off. You just plateaued out. You understand? You have to keep yourself open to the Word of God and be patient and grow. How many of you ever had a line on the wall when you were growing up to see how tall you were? You know, if you grew up in my short family, you did that, okay? And hoping one day you're going to be 6 feet tall. And even think about tying bricks to your feet to make them grow. I mean, make you stretch yourself. Yeah. But we'd back up to the wall and measure it. I mean, you know, you do this week, you do it this week, you do it this week. You didn't grow any. And then you forget about it and you go on and one day you think, well, I'm going to do this. And you've grown an inch. Wow. You didn't even realize you grew an inch. That's the way it is in the Spirit. You do this, you do this, you do this. And then one day you realize, I didn't realize I knew I do this stuff. You get in a situation, somebody asks you a question, and you got the answer. Because you put it in you. And so we have to learn that spiritual growth is progressive. Just like taking the promised land was progressive. Inheriting the benefits, the promises of God, is progressive. You don't just get everything in one lump sum, and that's what people are wanting. And there's a mentality today, everybody's wanting to be rich. But what will it profit you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? You understand? But people are giving their soul in exchange for the world. God wants our soul. God wants your mind, your will, your emotions. He wants them to be under His influence. And so we have to learn. You yield here. You yield here. You yield here. God's kingdom is the smallest seed that goes in your life. He compares it to a mustard seed. You got all these kinds of kingdoms dominating you. God's Word goes in. And you get saved. Well, you overcome that kingdom. And then there's some habits. And you overcome that kingdom. And then there's desires and possessions, obsessions and all that. That Word keeps growing in you as you nurture it. And you overcome that kingdom. You overcome that kingdom. You overcome that kingdom. And as the parable goes in Mark 4, that seed goes in to be the greatest herb of the garden, even though it went in small. To where now the greatest thing in you is God's kingdom that's ruling over all those other kingdoms that used to dominate you. They've been overthrown. And the kingdom of God's ruled. But it's progressive. Here a little, there a little. You follow me? So don't get impatient. Just be diligent. Stay committed to the Word. And don't you measure your spiritual maturity. You just always see yourself in need of more. You understand? I need more. I want to know Him more. Well, I can say that. Or I can apply myself to know Him more by staying in the Word, by continually studying. There's things that I've read, only God knows how many times I've read it. And I can go back and see things I didn't see before. And I think, why didn't I see that before? It's easy. I was blind. Until the Spirit of God opens your eyes to that particular thing. You follow me? I hope you don't think we're belaboring this, but I feel like it's to encourage you. Don't get impatient with the Lord. And don't feel like you're not going anywhere. You know, I've said it. Other people probably have. Sometimes I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. You know, spinning your wheels, you're not going anywhere, right? You got a lot of motion, but it's not forward motion. But that's not the case. One of these days, traction's going to hit.
Yeah.
And then it's going to propel you forward. And you've got to just hang on to that. Stay committed. Stay committed. Can't go wrong doing right. Stay in that word.
And please don't think, well, if I only had a job at a Bible college, I could do that all day. Or if I was only a pastor, I would just, I'd be in the office all day and I wouldn't have to work. I could just study all day. I can assure you, it doesn't work that way. It's shocking.
Too many interruptions.
Yeah.
I studied more. And I study a lot, but I studied more when I was working secular work. Because that's when we were studying maybe 8-10 hours a day. Because any time that I had any free time, I was reading the Bible. I studied the Bible day and night. You understand? And so going into the ministry, studying was just what I'd always done anyway. And then I realized that you have so many obligations. And actually, as a pastor, you know, visiting people think you're supposed to sit on their doorstep and stroke their flesh. You go, oh, poor little thing. You know, you got it rough. There's five hospitals I was going to in 1 week. Lexington, Winston, Greensboro, High Point, Thomasville. And I was coming down 109 and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, you're too busy. I said, but Lord, I'm doing what a pastor's supposed to do. Well, I didn't know what a pastor was supposed to do. He said, when you're too busy for me, you're too busy. I said, all right. Then I'm going to start spending time with you. And so I just told the congregation, if you have a legitimate need, an emergency situation or whatever, and you call me, I'll be there. But don't expect me just to make social visits, because I will be spending my time studying and spending my time with the Lord. That doesn't make everybody happy, but it makes God happy. And I'd rather Him be pleased, you know. And it worked all right. You understand? When God tells you to do something, you do it. It'll have a happy ending for you. Okay? Don't get too busy for the Lord. Don't think, well, when I quit this job, when I quit that job, I'll start spending more time with the Lord. If you're not doing it now, you won't then. You'd be pretty sure of that. I've heard this, and it's a true thing. If you want something done, look for a busy person to do it. Because the idle person is not going to do it. Otherwise, he wouldn't be idle. He'd be doing stuff. And so you want something done? Get a person who got a drive about them. That's who will get the job done. God's not looking for lazy people.
Amen. Very good. No, we don't want to be, we want to be diligent in our study, diligent in our pursuit of the Lord. Verse 24? Chapter 7?
Go right ahead.
Deuteronomy?
You got me into this, so go ahead.
And he shall deliver their kings into thy hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them.
So here again, we're getting so much reiteration through this book of Deuteronomy. But Moses is assuring this generation of Israelites, And basically, this is toward the army. A lot of this is toward the army. They encourage the army, okay? All right. These kings, God's going to turn the kings of these nations over to you. And when he does, annihilate them. You don't make a league with them. No covenant, anything. You annihilate them and their constituency. And he's talking about the seven nations where he's given them the land. Mm-hmm. And he says, no one will be able to oppose you and succeed. As long as you're following God and staying true to the commandments of God. And so he reiterates, completely destroy all the inhabitants of this seven nations. It's a mandate from God. And you better fear God more than you fear people. Now, when I talk about fear God to the point that you do what God says. You with me? It's not that God bullies people. He didn't make them. And they didn't. And they ended up getting driven out of their own land that they were given. Because they didn't follow his mandate.
Verse 25, the graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it up unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing.
Not only were they to totally annihilate these nations, but their gods, their idols, the gods they were, idols that they worshipped as God, a lot of these were made out of gold and silver. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's precious metal, right? God says, all right, you burn all the idols of these nations and don't you covet the silver and gold. You understand? And you justify, well, we'll melt this down and then we'll use this for something else. No, that's already been used for a desecrated thing. Leave it alone. You utterly destroy that. And he warned them against taking these idols instead of destroying them. And he said, if you do, they're going to be a trap. And they're going to ensnare you. And it will be disgusting to the Lord. That's what the word abomination means. It's disgusting. And so he says, bringing these idols in instead of destroying them, bringing them into your homes, it's actually going to cause God to turn against you. Where God's been for you to destroy the enemy, God will turn against you to destroy you because you've turned away from God. You're worshiping a false God. And so these idols were to be considered as unclean and detestable things because God said destroy them. If God said leave it alone and destroy it, you don't want to mess with it. Leave it alone. Because then it's unclean to you. Whether you melt it down or not, it's still unclean to you. And it's amazing how many people would justify this, that, or the other. You know, you gamble and win money, well, I'm going to give it to the Lord. God doesn't want it. It's unclean. It wasn't gotten in an honest way. You follow? Okay.
Chapter 8.
I'll tell you what, in that case, since our time is almost up anyway, let's stop there and we'll pick up with chapter 8 in our next session. Okay. You getting anything out of this?
Couldn't see you, Lenny. I was looking at Michaela.
Tonight's been a little bit different in that we've... Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you lay before you. Amen. You guys have a great weekend and keep your mind on the Lord.